A very good morning to you, my dear listeners, and welcome to Eagle FM. And if you're just joining us, welcome to Eagle FM. Or if you have been here from early morning scoop and even earlier on, you know, thanks for joining us and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this time. So a very good morning to you. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economics, and politics, and everything in between. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear. A little witty and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you the fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, spark meaningful conversation, so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. It's a Wednesday morning, the 20th of August. The year is 2025. So we are getting closer and closer to 2030. We're really getting closer and closer to 2030, where our Namibia is industrialized. That's the vision. Are we closer enough to an industrialized Namibia? And also, by that time, we should be a upper middle income country. So that was the vision. Remember that. That was the vision. So, good morning, and let's get into our segment of On This Day in Africa. So, what happened on the 20th of August in the history of Africa? Let's look at some of the significant events that happened. So, in Congo, on the 20th of August, 1908, the notorious brutal Congo Free State, previously under King Leo II's personal administration, was transferred to Belgium state, ruled and renamed the Belgian Congo. So while this marked the end of the king's private control, the exploitative and oppressive regime largely continued under the colonial governance. So, and if we move to Senegal, a pivotal moment in the Western African history took place on the 20th of August 1960, when Senegal officially seceded from Mali's federation and thus becoming an independent nation. So this was part of the broader wave of decolonization sweeping the continent during that period. So, and on and around the 20th of August, now this is 1619, the first recorded Africans were forcibly brought to the Point Comfort, modern-day Fort Monroe in Virginia, in America. So through the event occurred, though the event occurred in North America, it marked the beginning of the transatlantic slave trade and initiated centuries of profound impact on African society, the diaspora, and also the global history. So, yeah, that was the first recorded African were forcibly brought to the Point Comfort, Fort Monroe in Virginia, on the 20th of August, 1619. So, and if we move to Sudan in 1998, on the 20th of August 1998, the United States launched a cruise missile attack on a pharmaceutical factory in Khartoum in Sudan as a part of Operation Infinite Reach, launched in retaliation for the earlier bombings of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. So the strike had a significant implication for Sudanese society and international relations. So, and maybe lastly, the 20th of the August of the 20th is also recognized as a King and People's Revolution Day in Morocco, a significant holiday commemorating a key historical revolution, a revolutionary event in the country. So it's King and People Revolution Day in Morocco. So, yeah, well, that's what we have. That's all we have on this day in Africa. Those are some of the significant historical event happened in Africa. So today is Wednesday, August the 20th. So what is our thought for the day? So don't let ambition get so far ahead that it loses sight of the job at hand. All right? Don't let ambition get so far ahead that it loses sight of the job at hand. So the proverb means that while ambition and big dreams are valuable, they should not distract us from attending to our current responsibility or task. All right? So the proverb warns against being so consumed by lofty goals that you neglect the actionable steps required now. So this is a reminder to balance long-term vision with a short-term discipline. So dreaming big is one thing. Executing the work that moves you towards that goals is another. So, as I said, this is a reminder now to balance your long-term vision with your short-term discipline. So, and as we said, dreaming is it's one thing, but then executing the work now, today, that moves you towards that goal or those goals is another. So, don't let ambition get so far ahead that it loses sight of the job at hand. So that's our thought for the day. So I hope that would help you as you make decisions and choices in your life throughout the day today. So that you don't let ambition get so far ahead and you neglect and you lose sight of the job at hand. So good morning. If you're joining us, this is Unpacking the Day, and thanks for joining us. So what you can expect today in our show, in our program, what you can expect today in the show is that yesterday I was actually reading the NDP6, okay? So I was reading the NDP6, and then there is something that we're going to look at. So the NDP6 and the future of Namibia's agriculture. So we're going to look at some numbers I have seen that maybe we can, you know, question the, how would I say it, the practicality of we have to scrutinize. So it's you and I, we have to scrutinize this NDP6. And we also not just scrutinize it. We will be the one actually, you know, put this in effect, in practice. So and David actually asked the question as well to one of the caller that, so how do these development programs that we have, how do we actually in the papers, this is good. How do we make sure that, we translate that in implementation? To have a broader impact on our people. So now we're going to look at something in terms of agriculture, that aspect of agriculture, that goal of Namibian agriculture. We're going to look at the future of Namibian agriculture. We're going to look at that because there's something interesting that I want us to look at there. And also, yesterday we didn't talk about it, the 257 million National Youth Development Fund, golden opportunity or political trap. All right, so we're going to look at that. And if we still have time, we're also going to look at the SADC summit. We're going to put that in focus a little bit, look at some of the speeches from the presidents, from some of the presidents, and, you know, measure that against the reality in SADC. So we're going to look at that as well. So, all right, so as you can see, we got it plenty. And I hope that you stay tuned so that you can be part of this, because I want us to discuss this. I want us to discuss this. We go through this not just for fun. It's really to create one, to raise some, you know, awareness. You know, this is, you know, just to raise that, the word I'm looking for is to raise that. It's not consciousness, it's to raise, not awareness, I'm looking for a deeper word. You know, when you are people, when you have people have something like it's like the investment. So investor is coming and said, you guys, do you know that you have oil? Do you know that you have oil? And then you kind of like, really? Yeah. So yeah, you do have oil. All right. It's exactly what we do. So we want to raise that. I don't know. To raise that. Okay. I'll give you that example. So make sure that you'll be part of this. You'll be part of this and discuss some of these, important, programs of our country, or issues that are really affect, that would affect or affecting our economy, our life, our national development. So be part of it. All right. So be part of the discussions. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the program this morning. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, this is Eagle FM, and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. So, well, don't miss your favorite program. Don't miss your favorite program or be part of the debate, as the ad said earlier on, by staying connected with Eagle FM. So you can stay connected with Eagle FM. You know, you can listen to the radio, wherever the frequency you can hear it. So, or you can also, remain connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, or what you need to do is just to download the Eagle FM mobile app. So, and then you can do that. You can get that from Google Play. You can get that from the Play Store. So, and I said, don't miss anything. Because on that, you have your podcasts, you have your news, you have your schedule, when this is going to play, you have vacancies, you have a report, lots and lots of report. You have also, if you are from Ondangwa, I mean, if you're from, Ondangwa area, you know, and then if you are from the Ondonga, you know, traditional authority in that area of the Ndonga traditional. Also, we have Empango Dereroja Ndonga, so that you can also go through that knowing what is happening in your area of Ndonga. All right? So make sure that you read. Get there. Download that. That would help you because there are so many features on that app. So, and please do follow us on Eagle FM and also on the Villager. So on our social platforms, media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, you know, Facebook, Telegram, WhatsApp. So engage with us on these social media platforms and make sure you leave a comment, or you engage us in terms of leaving a comment, a like, or whatever the case may be. So whatever you feel like. But, you know, press on those signs. Okay? Do that. So and if you really looking for the latest business and economic news, not anywhere. Don't look anywhere. You can only get that in the Villager. So make sure that you get yourself a free copy of the Villager, and what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44, and be sure that you save that. We don't want this become a spam on your email. So save it, the Villager, or whatever you want, and the Villager is published. Make sure it's published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So and you get this for free. You're getting for free. And this is about, you know, economic business and economic news around your country, around the world. So get informed. Be informed. All right? Make sure that you subscribe. All what you need to do, send your name and email to 081-241-44. So, and if you want, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you just want to advertise your event or you want to advertise your business, so get in touch with us. So, and also, if you want to have you expose your event through a live streaming or broadcasting, make sure that you contact us. Our office number is 083-288. 400. So 083-288-400. So do that, and I can guarantee you will be a happy person. All right. So good morning. Thanks for joining us. Our time is about 19 minutes past the hour of 8, and Unpacking the Day start at 8, and we go until 10 o'clock. Until 10 o'clock, and we have plenty of time to have fun. We should have fun as well as we discuss serious matter. It's not just we should be, you know, serious and what, you know. I used to, you know, to like the transition of from Unpacking the Day to Mind the Gap, because then, you know, you have been bombarded with so much information and heavy discussion, and then you just relax. But, you know, we make it even better. So you get into now. So we also want to cater to, you know, to our Oshwambo speaking people. And we have another program, Kutha Mosha, that also analyzes and go into some of this issue in detail. So for you to, you know, to exactly participate as well. So good morning to you, wherever you find yourself. Well, wherever you're listening from, Katima, you know, Fakenuk in the south, is there a country? Is the town Fakenuk in south? You know, Carisburg, you know, Aminius. Where's Aminius? Aminius is that son of the Barbies, you know, Opuo. So, and then we talk about along the coast. Why are you listening to us from? So welcome. So let's get into what we have today. And as I said, good morning. And this is Unpacking the Day. And my name is Michael Shovedi. I'm here with you and ready to look beyond, as we always do, beyond the headlines and get to the heart of the stories shaping our nation. So welcome. Now, so as I said, yesterday I was reading this new National Development Plan, So actually, my boss, you know, not the big boss, there's another boss, smaller boss, that tell us we must read the National Development Plan, you know. So my small boss telling me, not the bigger one, the smaller one. So so that we must read the NDP 3, not NDP 3, NDP 6, all right? We must read the development plan and engage in issues that, you know, that that drives our development, that drives our, you know, our country into development direction. So, and something caught my attention, really, the numbers. My word, the numbers are huge. And you're probably asking, what numbers? Yeah, you see, because you don't read. You do not read. That's why you ask me what numbers, okay? Okay, let's do that. So the government has laid out a bold vision for our country's food future, okay? For our country's food future. But I'm starting to wonder if that is realistic. All right, let's get into it. So Namibia is aiming to become food self-reliant by 2030. Remember, this is by 2030. Remember yesterday I was talking at that. What was we're looking at? And I was talking about, so are we living on the hope of yesterday's? Or if that's the case, or should we come up with a different? We can already, we shouldn't be ashamed. If we haven't done, if we haven't succeeded, you know, with 2030, with Vision 2030, we can always come up with Vision 2040. It's our vision. So we acknowledge we failed and then we move on to Vision 2040, Vision 2050. So now Namibia is aiming to become a food self-reliant by 2030. So there are only about 4 years already of, 4 years left. So we are going to grow more. We're going to grow more, we're going to process more and export more. That's the vision. So the plan presented by our president, Triple N, so promises to boost our local food supply from 60% of our needs, from 60% of our needs to a massive 80%. All right? So it also aims to increase the value of our crop export, the value for our crop export to 2.8 billion. Okay? So follow the number. Now, it all sounds really, really, really fantastic. More job, more food on the shelves, more money for Namibians, and who wouldn't want that? You want that, I want that, everybody wants that. That's what we want, isn't it? Now, but remember, this is unpacking the day. As I always tell you, this is unpacking the day. This is what we do, you and me. This is what we do. We don't just read the headlines. Okay? We tear them open, see what is inside. So this morning, we are asking the question. We are asking, is this ambitious plan? Is this ambitious plan a recipe for prosperity? That's a good question. Is this a recipe for prosperity? Or is it a dream that might be too big? It might be too big for our, you know, our country. Think of our country, this, our dry Namibian soil. Or is it that too big for our dry Namibian soil? Now, let's get into it. I want us, you're now going to find out what I mean. Now, all right, let's start with the biggest, most mind, what is the word they use? Mind, blogging? Mind boggling. Let's begin with the biggest, most mind boggling number in this entire plan. Now, so this is now, let's get now, you know, serious on this. So the government wants to increase the large scale farming land. So the large scale farming land from about 11,000 hectares to 130,000 hectares by 2030. Let me repeat that. I'm going to repeat that. From 11,000 hectares to 130,000 hectares. That's not a small jump, people. That's a leap across the Grand Canyon, if you like. So it's more than tenfold the increase in just 5 years. Eh? Think, and I want you really to think, this is from 11,000 hectares to 130,000, you know, hectares. That is more than tenfold increase in just 5 years. So, now, the first question that really pops in my mind, pops in my head, and it should pop in yours too. This question should also pops in your in yours too. Is where is all this land coming from? Where are you going to get this land? Well, I will ask. I will open up the line later on for maybe you know where this land going to come from. This of 130,000 hectares. Where is that going to come from? That's mind boggling. You know, it's kind of in my mind. How realistic is this? Maybe you do. I'm bringing this. This is a realistic thing. Maybe you do. And I really, really want you to help me understand this. Okay? I want you later to come. So when I'm finished with all this, just listen, just follow. And really come and tell me where we're going to get this, where we're going to get this amount of land. All right? So, now, where all this land can come from? Is it existing? Is it existing government land? Do we have already, I know every land is government's, but, you know, do we have some empty government existing land somewhere? Are they planning to clear new land? I'm not sure. And if so, maybe also what you have to think, what are the environmental consequences? One also have to think about that. So, or the other thing is also, and this is the big one, eh? The big one. Does this involve communal land? Does this involve communal land? The plan specifically mentioned northern communal areas. So, how will this massive expansion, now, how will this actually affect people who live and farm there right now? Now, there are people that are living there, that are farming there right now. Whether is, you know, will they partners with those people, or will they be pushed aside for the large-scale commercial projects? So, those are the questions we're going to still continue asking after this.
What does financial inclusion look like in Namibia and Africa at large? Tune into Financial Inclusion, where money meets access, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. live on Eagle FM to hear about the different opportunities, services, and methods that foster financial inclusion. Financial Inclusion, where money meets access. Proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
And here on Unpacking the Day, we are also about you. So welcome back. Welcome back. So we're talking about the government want to increase the large scale farming land from about 11,000 hectares to 130,000 hectares by 2030. And remember, you only have about 4 years. So, and my question is, where is this land coming from? Is it existing government land? Are we planning to clear new land? Or so what, where will this come from? Or is this involved or communal land? Or, and also in, as I said, in the plan, it's mentioned northern communal areas. It speak about northern communal areas and how will this now, when you talk of this massive expansion, how does this going to affect the people who live and farm there already that are farming there right now, whatever, whether you have your 2 goat or 3 goat or whatever. So will they be partners? So will they be pushed aside for this now, if we now think of large scale commercial projects? So those are the questions. And this plan promised rural. Now, remember, the plan also is promising rural, the rural income growth. So it's also, the plan promises rural income growth. But we have to ask, whose income? Okay, now think of that expansion, how the people will be affected. Now, when you have to think of when the plan promises the rural income growth, now you have to ask, whose income? Is it for the small scale? Is it for the small scale farmers with few goats and a patch of mahangu? So, or is it for the large mecca, you know, this mechanized corporation that will manage those now, that will manage now this 130,000 hectares? Whose income? As I said, when you read, sometimes these things are not clear. So it's really, really, really not clear. But let's say for argument's sake, and not only for argument's sake, let's say we find the land. Okay? We have identified the areas. Now, then comes the next, even more critical question for every one of you and for every single Namibian. So let's say we find the land. Now, where is the water coming from? So where would be the water coming from? Eh? So we live in one of the driest country in sub-Saharan Africa. So, well, dry because we don't have dry as it is, but we have groundwater. We have two groundwater, but, you know, are we making use of that? But also, we sometimes have so much water that we don't harvest. Yes, but we live. We actually one of the driest countries in sub-Saharan Africa. So we are constantly in a battle against, you know, against drought. So our dams, we even have, you know, the dam bulletin, you know, to kind of see where our levels of water all the time. So our dams are constantly source of anxiety. They're always source of anxiety. So yet, now, when you have to think of this plan talks about a massive investment in irrigation system. Now, to irrigate 130 hectares of crops, I can tell you, I'm not a agriculturalist specialist or whatever, but I'm just a simple someone who have some goats and now and then have few crops in certain not even in a hectare area. So I can tell you, to irrigate 130,000 hectares of crops, that require a phenomenal amount of water. That require a lot of water. And my question is, where is the water going to come from? Those are real questions. Unless you're not thinking. Unless you're not thinking. Okay, maybe let's get into it. Are we talking about using more water from the Kavango maybe, or from the Kunene, or from the Orange River? What does this, and also then, what does that mean for our long-term water security? And our agreement with our neighbors, because we have an agreement in terms of using those water. What does that mean? Think of this also. Are we also, then we have to be very careful, because are we potentially trading water security for food security? It's a tough question. It's a tough question, but it must be asked. It must be asked. So now the plan speaks about climate smart and water efficient agriculture. Water efficient agriculture. So these are great, really great buzzword when we use those kind of words. But what do they mean in practice when you are scaling up? When you're scaling up by over, this is not by it's not even by 100, it's by over 1,000%. It's not 100%, it's by 1,000%. The scaling up is too massive in this period, for a period of, you know. So the plan is a big ambition, but it is very, the plan is quiet when you read through. It's quiet on details of our most precious source, which is actually water. It's quiet. It is ambitious, but in terms of where we're going to get our waters, how we're going to get away, you know, it's very, 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 very quiet. And we need those information. We need to understand. Otherwise, it's, you know, when we don't, it's like you have, you know the destination, you understand? You know the destination, but you don't have the map. So you don't have the map to get you to the destination. Well, at least that's how I feel. If it's very clear for you, you know, I want to hear that. Eh? But I really want to hear that. So, all right? So, let's get to another thing, all right? Okay? And if you're just joining us, we are digging into the government's new agricultural plan in the NDP 6. So that's what we are digging at. So please do come later. I want you to call through when I finish. So that's now to get to that 80% self-sufficiency. And these are the kind of crops that we need to grow. The maize, the wheat, the mahangu, the vegetables. All right? So, and then that should be targeting our market, like in Katutura, in Kitmas, wherever, you know, in Katima. So, yes. Now, this is about, okay, it's about national pride, national security. It's about ensuring that if, say, for example, if there is some kind of a global crisis, it doesn't leave ourselves empty. Okay, if something is happening, South Africa now, yesterday we talked about 30%, what is that, 30% tariff, you know, slap to South Africa, you know, as imposed to South Africa, it may impact our, you know, then we're not affected. So our shelf still have, you know. So that's what it means to get to 80 self-sufficiency. It means that we grow more of maize, more of wheat, mahangu, whatever, all those staple food, those staple crops that we use for our staple food. Now, but now, on the other hand, remember now, put things together now. On the other hand, the goal is to increase export to 2.8 billion. Remember at the beginning, 2.8 billion. Now, export means foreign currency, which is actually good for the national economy. But here's the conflict. Now, here's the conflict. The conflict is that, so, and think about this, okay? So sometimes we don't pay attention. So, are the crops that make the most money for export the same crop that we need to feed ourselves? So, the 2.8 billion that we need to increase to export, which is the goal, is to increase that. Now, we think about that. We talk about the mahangu, the whatever, for that would get us to 80% self-sufficiency. Okay? Now, and this is the conflict. So, are the crops that make now the most money for export the same crop that we need to feed ourselves? So, and think about it. I want you really, really to think about it. Namibia has great success exporting higher value products like table grapes, and what is the other thing? Dates, and recently, what is the blueberries? So those are higher value product, export higher value. Well, if that's how you can call it. So So now those are the ones. They fetch, you know, they fetch a great price in Europe, and but we don't live. Now the problem is that we don't live on grapes and dates. Our staple food is mahangu and maize meal, and that's why I'm asking. Eh? So are the crops that make the most money for export the same crop that we need to feed ourselves, but we don't live on our staple, you know, our staple food is not grapes and dates. It's mahangu and maize meal. So now the question is, put things together. The question is, when a farmer now on one of these new large scale irrigated farms has to decide now, remember now the 130,000 hectares. Now, you know, this one of the large scale irrigated farms has now to decide. Now they have to decide what to plant. What would the priority? What would be the priority? Would it be the mango, the maize, and all that, or would it be the grapes and dates? So would it be now? Will it be now planting maize to fill the silos or at the silos at Namib Mills and keep the price of our pap? We're talking because we want to feed ourselves. Keep our price of pap down, or will it be planting high value? You know, you're planting high value niche crop, the niche crop to sell to supermarket in Germany to meet that 2.8 billion export target. I hope you're really following, because that's, you know, the plan say it will support both. Eh? When you look at the plan, it say it will support both. But in a country with limited land, first of all, think of the land. In a country that's limited with land, and even more with limited water, choices will have to be made. We need to make a choice. Is there a risk that we end up with beautiful green export zones while still actually struggling to produce enough affordable staple food for our own people? That's a possibility. Yeah? So this is not just an economic question. It's a social one. Okay? It's a social one. So who truly benefit from that 2.8 billion in export? Does the profit stays with a few large commercial producers, or does it actually trickle down to the to create a widespread prosperity? This is also what David was asking. Does it trickle down? Does it trickle, not trickle, trickle down to create that widespread, you know, growth or prosperity or development? So that I want you really, really to think. And let's get to our last aspect that I want us to chat. It also promises, okay, the final piece of this puzzle that I want to touch on is agro-processing. Okay, the agro-processing. The plan aims to increase its contribution to our economy. All right, this is a fantastic goal. This is a very fantastic goal. No, for too long, we have exported our raw material, imported finished goods. Why sell raw wood? Eh? Raw wool, when we can actually market blanket. So why sell raw crops when we can make flour, oil, package food right here? Why? Okay, I think, as I said, that's a fantastic goal. Now, creating value addition in Namibia means creating jobs. It means building factories, means developing skills. So, and as I said, in early morning scoop, also we emphasize that, developing skills. It's keeping more of the profit within our borders. Now, the plan to repurpose existing infrastructure and promote technology is exactly what we need, and it's what we need to hear. Now, but again, let's unpack it. Let's get a little bit deeper into this. So, will this support now? And that raises a serious, serious question about where the land, and more importantly, the water, will come from. Where would that come from? So, and I said, maybe you have an answer. Please do come through and tell us. And there's something I call a hidden tension. Okay, so a hidden tension. there's a potential clash between between growing food for our local consumption and growing high value crops for export. So we need clarity on the priority. So who will be doing what with this now massive expansion, land expansions, you know, who will be doing what? And the challenge, the plan is full of promising goals, but short on the practical details of how we get there without unintended consequences for our environment and maybe for our people as well. Okay, let's get him. Very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe I might not really attempt to answer your question, but I will present my opinion.
That's what we do here. Go ahead.
So your questions, they were provided with answers.
Give me those answers, man.
So there was an interview that you had with Madam Amtuma here.
Yeah.
Then that unfortunately we could not engage with that discussion. You actually promised us that the following day we could engage in those things. And I think your question today about the scarcity of water, how the water will be preserved to increase the hectares from 11,000 to 130,000 to produce whatever you want to produce from the land. Because the land is there for everything, really.
So where are we going to get the, first of all, where are we going to get the land? From where?
Just I haven't gone very far.
Yeah.
We have presented for almost about 30 minutes. I don't know. No interruptions. So I haven't even introduced my topic as yet. I just mentioned about the honorable governor.
Yeah.
Madam, and I think two people actually requested formally that, yes, they wanted to hear and talk more about the vision of the governor, Dr. Angwena. And it's mentioned about the water, the potential water there in that region. It's mentioned about that. It's not necessarily about Kalango River, Orange River. Of course, maybe that might take long in terms of bilateral agreement. That's the mention about the aquifer, whatever it is. So, Mahango, to sustain you. The surplus, what do you do with that? Don't you sell it? Or you throw it away? You can throw it away.
No, the other problem, thing, even with a small garden, the water is just expensive. Even when it's just expensive.
Let me tell you my story, my friend. One of your young ones, Mr. Rudolph, he say when you grew up closer to just my village. When you grew up, you never knew that tomatoes, sweet potatoes, omidika, they could be just only found maybe in Oskuku or a Tai. Or wherever, maybe in Osaka, not even a Tai. Because we could produce those ones. But we never had tap water in our homes. So I'm now saying that, for example, I'm just giving an example. Maybe you don't know this one, this community development project.
Yeah, where do they get the water, the community development project?
They were having water.
Where do they get the water? Now I'm asking, where do they get the water?
So... can't you not preserve? The governor says we are going to make sure that you preserve the water The Agbada. So can you record that edition and you see where they get the water?
No, Agbada, what we're doing is that I'm also looking at the plan. The plan also saying that. So that's what we now. Now we're scrutinizing.
The water, you get the water from where? So, what is the plan saying? You are adopting the plan or what?
So where I'm asking is where did the governor said where we're going to wet water? So, and if
The governor was just when you had the conversation with her, so you did not even ask when she was saying you will get the water from here, the agriculture, these other areas, all these things. You didn't get anything from there. You did not learn a lesson.
Okay, go on with your opinion. All right. So because when what happened to you with Ango Bora? When you asked to expand, but you sometimes wait. There's an coming there. There's an ad coming up.
Yeah, so please.
The International University of Management, IUM, is excited to announce that applications for the 2026 academic year are now open. Explore a wide range of qualifications across our dynamic faculties and school. Faculty of Environmental Management and Sustainability Sciences, Faculty of Health Sciences, Faculty of Information and Communication Technology, Faculty of Strategic Management and Business Administration, School of Primary Education, School of Secondary and Postgraduate Education, Postgraduate Studies, and the Graduate School of Business. Whether you are in Windhoek, Kurunkuru, Enana, Ongwediva, or Walvis Bay, your future starts at IUM. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. Go ahead, make the right choice, and step into your future with IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
No.
Hello?
All right. So, okay. Please, let's do this. Okay, what I'm trying to do is this. Now, let's look at the plan that we have. We have NDP 1, NDP 2, NDP 3. So, when you look at them, okay? So, and let's not focus on ourselves. Let's focus on, because we want to engage. Wait. So, have everything in those NDP fulfilled?
NDP fulfilled.
Yeah, in NDP and Harambe Prosperity, has that been fulfilled?
So are you saying that since Harambe Prosperity 1 and 2 and all these other projects, NDP 5...
My question is, has everything in those has been fulfilled?
Many of those aspirations and plans were fulfilled.
They were fulfilled?
Many of them.
So, are we an industrialized nation now?
Well, did they say just the industrialization is a process? You just say at one stage you move up. So, if you want to get into that, just look at from the 1990 up to now in all the sectors, whether in the economic sector or political or social. Even we are actually the best. You were told that. We are the first in Africa, I think second in the world, in terms of foreign attraction. Okay? So that tells you that in terms of political or economic, social and political areas, we are doing well.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that all this NDP, whether it's from one, that's why I refer you to the preamble, so that you understand better.
I do. I read it.
So then now you were saying that we have actually read NDP 6, that you are talking about now, or whatever, even Harambe. In terms of social safety nets, we are the best. In terms of the roads, just listen. You got for the statistic in terms of road network, the connection and things like that. We are the best.
Okay.
So globally, what level are we? I'm not saying that we are the, I'm just telling you in terms of comparative study. So now, if there are, I know there are a lot of improvement and a lot of things that we need to do. So the young man was talking about Japanese, the international and African, all these benefits. So now where do we get the water now, for example? I gave you an example, even in my village. So we used to produce cassava, everything. Now we have got to tap water in every house, the village, even yourself.
No, that's not true.
I'm
actually just in Ongodiva, and the village in Ongodiva, they don't have
Ongodiva is one of the growing towns that we can see. We appreciate the leadership of the Utoni and others. So it was not like that. It was all farmers around, and we still have to produce guava. Don't look at the infrastructure. So I'm just telling you the truth. So this is not about you. So you can do your assessment. We now do say in 1990, we were at this level. This time around, we are at this level. Now we are talking about industrialization.
All right.
What is your aspiration there? So now you did not even hear what the governor was talking about, where to get water. Now you want me to repeat. I wanted to say something new. Now I have to repeat again. So thank you very much, Mike. God bless.
Oh, God bless. It looks like now every time I have to, Uncle Bona, when he comes, he's actually fired up to, you know, he's not even focusing on things that we're talking about. I'm taking the day. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
I'm good.
Mm.
Mike, I want to come about out of left field here.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, whatever development plan you may conspire or conceive,
yeah,
you know, it has some challenges that it faces. And one of those challenges is bureaucracy.
Yeah.
The government does not see this. It's blind to this thing. Bureaucracy is one of those things that are actually stumbling blocks to getting business going.
Mm.
If you've got 3,000 graduates at a university, right? And out of those 3,000 graduates, 2,999 have to get jobs. And maybe one starts a business.
Yeah.
Then your economy is going nowhere. What you have to do is to foster an environment,
yeah,
and to encourage the 3,000, out of the 3,000 graduates, that at least half of them, or maybe two-thirds of them, will start businesses. Because those are the people that are supposed to be the best and the brightest of their generation, because they are the ones who have been given the knowledge. I mean, that's what university is for.
It's honorable.
Centers of knowledge, right?
Yeah.
So these people have all the information. They are the ones who are supposed to start the businesses. Why are they crying about jobs so much? Because your environment that you created as a government is not conducive to business.
Yeah.
I'll give you a case in point. Yesterday, NCCI, right? Sokob Mund, the guys are talking, and the Sokob Mund, I don't know what he is, but he's a Sokob Mund guy, the municipality, representing the municipality. He says, no, you've got to get your fitness certificate so that you can, you know, and this is what you need to get a fitness certificate. You must show your residential address, and then your, depending on the business, the neighbors must give consent, and then the inspector will come and look. Maybe you are selling food, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a business at home. Okay. Now the other lady stands up and she says, listen, wait a minute. I don't have a business that is at home. My business is more, you know, online. I'm providing a service online, meaning I help people with their, I sell things online, or I have got an online website or whatever.
Yeah.
And I want to get a VAT number, but I can't get a VAT number without first getting a fitness certificate. You know what the guy says? He says, no, you can't do that. You can't get a fitness certificate. Why? You don't have a physical business. You don't have a residential address.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if you wanted one, your neighbors must consent. Consent to what? An online business? Yes. Bureaucracy. This is the thing that kills business across Namibia. This is the thing that the government can talk to the DBN, they can talk to commercial banks. They think that business is only hampered by the fact that there is no money or access to money.
Mm-hmm.
Not true. Not true. Money is only one of the factors that affects business. And if you are talking about business, you are talking about development.
No, but money is there.
No, money is not there. It's only a lie.
Look. Like, even if you go to the bank, there are small business, whatever business sections, but the criteria that are there, it's just that it doesn't fit the situation where we found ourselves. It's actually not meant for the people that it should meant for. So
absolutely, by saying what you just said, by saying that, right? If the requirements cannot be met in order to get to the money, there's no money. Because the effect is the same.
In that way,
That's what I'm saying. The effect is the same. So the biggest pet peeve that I've got is, for instance, one of the biggest stumbling blocks is BIPA.
Yeah.
BIPA and good standings. Biggest stumbling block to business. Those two. Right? Because why? At least good standing is better because it's only when you are doing business with government.
Mm.
But if you are doing privately business, you don't need good standing.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. But government is trying to make it so that even private business, you need good standing. Right? But the most useless one is BIPA. Why do we have this organization called BIPA? What is its function, Mike?
Yeah. So
I'm asking for access, right? And a scanner and a photocopier. Those people can replace the whole country's BIPA program. But so what is BIPA there actually for? More bureaucracy. Because there are more hoops for you to jump through in order to conduct business. Therefore, what are they doing? They're adding barriers for business. But businesses are the engines that drive employment, that drive development. So what are they doing? They're actually against business. Why is BIPA there? BIPA is only there because some bright spark went to parliament, and the airheads in parliament went and they said, they were told, look, we've got a lot of businesses that are being registered, but they're dormant. My question is, so what? They're not operating, but they're registered. So what? What does it matter?
Mm.
Yeah, we need to have an authority that is going to look at beneficial ownership, and the other thing is for these dormant companies to be scrapped. Why? Why do we need to do all this whole exercise? Buildings are being rented. People are being employed. Lots of people, right? And they're not just employed for 2,000, 1,000, right? And all of that was supposed to be an in-house department at the Ministry of Trade.
Yeah.
That's where it was supposed to have been and remained. It was just an in-house department at the Ministry of Trade, and they created this whole entity to do what?
Mm.
To waste money.
Yeah. No, that I agree with you, because it's the argument I go with, as I said, the issue, and I'm going far away from what we're talking, the issue of veteran, war veteran, I said it should have actually solved long time ago, because, you know, the money that goes into, why would you have a ministry? You know, the massive money that millions and millions that goes into the ministry could actually directly go to a directorate that deal directly. And you have about two or three or four people or five people that are actually employed in there to directly deal with the veterans. Now you have employed massive, massive people in the ministry who are not even veterans. And the money that goes to the veterans is actually few money rather than, you know, the amount of money that actually allocated to the ministry. Eh?
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that when it comes to government, the people that are employed in government should be less than the people who are outside of government working privately. Then, otherwise, if the people who are employed in government are more than the people who are employed privately, and especially those people that are exporting from Namibia to go out, right? Especially those people. They should have number one priority because they're exporting and they're bringing money into the economy and not taking money out of the economy, right? If that is not happening, then what you are doing is you've got a top-heavy system. You've got people, a few people have to support a lot of people. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So now you might have an ONL out there. You might have a Harold Pukovic. But not all of us can benefit from the, you know, apartheid. We can't benefit from that right now because why? We're not in that system. But there are a lot of people that have money right now who benefited from that system, right?
Yeah.
But now you want to compare us to them. How? And all you keep doing is you keep putting stumbling blocks in front of us. It is, government is not interested in doing what? In fostering business and in developing business. If they were, they would do what? They would streamline the processes that exist.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they would do. But they don't do it. Therefore, that tells you what they are really interested in. So, I will come back to, I'll just finish off.
It's an ad coming up. It's an ad coming up and then you can finish off. Yeah.
Okay.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. So just wrapped up. Yeah.
Yeah, let me wrap it up. Okay. When it comes to business and all of these things, we see where, you know, the existing that says put your money where your mouth is.
Yeah.
Right? And government keeps telling us that they want to do development. They want to develop the country. They want us to start manufacturing. They want us to start doing all of these things. They make all of these claims. And right now they've got a youth program whereby they are going to give money to the youth, and the youth are supposed to start businesses. They're supposed to do whatever. I don't think that it's genuine because, number one, in Namibia, we don't have a development bank.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. Namibia does not have a development bank. Namibia's got a bank that is a commercial bank that is interested in engaging or giving loans to businesses. But it itself, its core mandate is first to make a profit for what? For its lenders, because it also borrows money.
That is not
a development bank by definition. A development bank's core mandate is development.
Mm.
So what does that mean? It means that it takes higher risk transactions, or contracts that will have a high likelihood. Businesses, meaning that you come with your harebrained scheme there, and you say, "I want to start growing potatoes," and any other bank would have said, "Ah, no, you have no track record, you are not educated, you come from a poor family, your father was a shepherd, a goat herder, you don't qualify," right? But the development bank will say, "Okay, you have this desire to do this. You say that you have the land." We'll put some trust in you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying be foolish with the money, but I'm saying that you have to have a higher appetite for the risk. And you must be able to, because why? That's not your money anyway.
Yeah.
It's money that's coming from the community, the people that is doing what? That is supposed to grow the people and their children.
Right.
That is development. The other one is not a development bank. They should change the name.
Yeah.
They should be called a business bank, but but they should not be called a development bank because they are not a development bank.
All right, Anonymous.
And please, bring in somebody from BIPA. Let them come and justify themselves because they are there taking money for free. They shouldn't even exist.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thanks for coming through. Yeah? Great, man.
Okay, bye.
A very good morning to you. This is Unpacking the Day, and today we really focus on the So if you want to come through as well on what we have covered so far this morning, we look at the agricultural development plan, especially that is not everything. Just I took specific aspect. In NDP 6 agricultural plan, and just looking at some of those things. We're talking about, as I said, the good is that the ambition is really huge. Focus on good, on food self-sufficiency and local value addition, which is the language that we actually talking about. And is exactly what we need. It's exactly what Namibia's needs.
And the question is, the big question is, as we looked at that, is the targets, the for the land expansions are really, really, really massive. From 11,000 hectares to 130,000, you know, that expansion is massive, and raises a serious question about where the land and the water, most importantly, water will come from.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
So you are screaming that I wasn't focusing on what you were talking about today?
No, come on, Uncle Bwana. Let's not make this is radio.
Yes.
Let's not make this you and me.
Yes.
Come on.
Please, don't do that.
So please, as I said, don't make this you and me.
So
otherwise,
that's why I'm telling you.
Man, I told you that.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Good. My advice is, let's not take things personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
it's a radio, we are debating.
Exactly. So
yeah.
We're not talking.
Debate is not personal, it's sharing ideas.
Yeah, so...
Yes, my idea might be better, your idea might be better, mine might, you know, look at it, the one or the other, it doesn't matter.
This is what I do with everybody.
Yeah, it might be long, not a good idea. It depends on the value.
So
yeah.
This is
but
what I do. I facilitate debate here. I will ask you certain things. If you mention something, I might ask you something or something controversial or something like that. It would allow debate.
Uncle must not take it personal.
Yeah.
It's my advice to Uncle. So he's a very good contributor.
No, he is. He is a very good contributor.
Yes. And
we appreciate his contribution.
Definitely. If it comes like that, then people be...
We're getting out of the topic. Yeah. Yeah. Are you still there? The network here, it's terrible. I can't hear you. Can you? Oh, man. Can you call me again? Can you try to call me again? Because I can't hear you. All right. Call you again. Eh? Call again. I can't hear you. What happened?
So please do call again. I really can't hear you again. What happened? What did I do? I didn't do anything. All right, 08333-66091. All right, so please do come through again and see what was wrong.
A very good morning. Good morning. What did I do?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No. On agriculture and land.
Yeah.
On one point, one day we said we should learn from others how they did it.
Yeah.
And I think last time when we were giving an example, it was the North Korea, Southern Korea for Kia, and how they did it.
Oh man.
You won't realize your potential.
Mm.
Yes. And the good thing about dreaming is it gives you an opportunity and setting goals.
We're breaking up.
Not only the people, what will the voters who voted me into this power.
Mm.
What I've promised them. Because what we are saying is, we don't want to, as a...
The network. So there are moments actually...
Yes, we say, they did this, they brought this, they brought this. You don't need to walk out. No, wait. You can even sleep. I'm going to vote for you. And I like it. And the way we can get the water, look at, let's look at Lake Oshkoto, this Chumebu
area.
Lake Oshkota Guinness, there, the government can make. We have got places. We understand it's communal, but yeah. Government must can talk to the community, to the chiefs and the what. Then they can say, okay, fine, this area is of. People. Let's send our people for agriculture lessons and how to grow rice.
Yeah.
Is it? And the way the Zambians are doing it, you can see they grow rice. So, because flood, when it comes, it will provide that water for us. Then we look at the Nagato and the dams. Then we say, okay, fine, this is what we produce in this area. You see?
Hmm. What is happening? I think the network is very, very low on this side, and we are breaking up sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's cold sometimes, we grow something we call wheat or whatever.
Mm.
That is for that season. And
can you hear me?
They should talk, engage, and see what is this that we can do. Because all what we are doing is for the nation.
Mm.
It's not for the individual.
Yeah.
So with that, I think it's...
No, man. Something is not right.
You put them in, those who are roaming around the street.
Yeah.
Those who have completed education, they should go there and help also. Whether you are a teacher or whatever, if there is no job for teaching.
So, hello, can you hear me, James? Yeah.
Hello, thanks, eh?
Yeah.
I think we can achieve. Definitely.
Yeah, all right. Mm. No, they, all right, man, thanks, man. Mm.
All right, benefit.
Yeah. You're breaking up. I can't hear you properly. Yeah.
All right.
There's something with my line at this point. I think it's network. The network, it's also very, very, very low. And that would maybe cause, some people, like when you talk, you don't, at the way, there's a point you don't hear them. The voice disappeared. I don't think it's the line. I think maybe it's the network because it looks very, very low on my side. Okay. All right. But do come through. It's okay. Do come through. Let's maybe, as we go on, that changes. It was different earlier on. It's only starting now. So, but let's see if that changed. So you must wait to come through again. 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. All right. So you can comment on our first item on the topic that we have covered so far. But let's also move on. To the next. If there are no calls coming in, or if the calls when they come in we can't hear, then it's become a little bit of a problem. But I hope people, I'm not breaking up. When I'm talking up, I hope I'm not breaking up. It's only calls that are breaking up. But, yeah, hopefully I'm not breaking up. Please, my technical people, let me know if I'm not breaking up myself, if I'm not breaking up. All right? So, yeah.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
A very good morning to you. If you're just joining us at this time, our time is about 31 minutes past the hour of 9. And this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So, and we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and we go until the hour of 10. So we still have a couple of, about 29 minutes before we come to the end of our episode of Unpacking the Day this morning. So let's talk about the money. Let's talk about the mullah. Now, a lot of it, 257 million to be exact. Okay? The government has put this massive, massive amount into something called the National Youth Development Fund. That's actually what we were talking about. That's what I was actually talking to Anonymous in terms of that. The development bank, if it was really the development bank as it should be, what actually the National Youth Development Fund actually doing should be actually being done by the development bank. So now the idea of the National Youth Development Fund is to give our young entrepreneurs a real shot at success. So that sounds great. It really sounds great. And it sounds, you know, as something, it sounds like a lifeline for the youth, in a tough economy. So, but as soon as the doors opened, the questions start now, So the questions start flooding in, you know, a headline in the news is already screaming, you know, havoc, it's trouble, you know, so the big question we are unpacking today is this. Is this 257 million fund a genuine game changer for Namibian youth, or is it setting the stage for confusion, frustration, and maybe even corruption? Now, let's get into it. So now, let's start at the beginning, right? The Namibian Youth Development Fund is designed to be a boost for young people with bright ideas. Those young people with bright ideas, we're talking about loans from 60,000 up to a cool. You can have a cool $1 million as well, you know? So, up to $1 million. So the interest rates are low, between 2% and 4%. You know, between that 2% and 4%. So, and you don't need collateral. Let's see. Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, boss. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Good, man. You're talking about it.
So there was a little bit of a network and it cut at one point. Hopefully that's actually gone. Yeah, you can go on. Yeah.
Yeah, we are talking about the 200 designated for the youth.
Yeah, I was just going into that now. Yeah. But you can say whatever I need to say.
The question is.
Yeah. You see, you're breaking up already. Yeah.
It's from 2017 to now.
What did you say before that? Because I think you have broke up. There's something wrong with my line.
I'm saying.
Yeah. You're gone again. Yeah.
Or even all those years behind there.
Yeah.
So in this one, they are not catered for.
So my friend, can you hear me? I'm really sorry, man.
But yeah, their advocacy for developments or whatever they intend to do.
Yeah. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
But I lost you for a few.
Yeah. I'm also losing you. And that's why I think my line has a problem. Okay. I'm sorry, man. I can't hear you anymore. And if you can hear me, I'm going to end the call.
No, we had a problem with the leaderships. You find a leader that is actually saying, no, I want.
Oh, man. This is not good.
I'm advocating to alleviate poverty or something like that.
Mm.
Let me give you an example of.
Oh, man.
Hello?
Yes, hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, but I'm losing you.
I'm losing you as well, man. It's not really working. You have been speaking at one point.
Yeah. I think what you need.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I'm going to cut you off, because it's not really working.
And then we can give our input on that.
All right.
Yeah. Mm. Once the lines are 100%.
Okay, great, man. Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
Somehow, you see.
Mm. Yeah. No, thanks, man. Yeah. Okay, my technical people, I don't know whether it's my line, and I think it's my line. Yeah. So it was working fine, but I don't know what happened. What happened now? So, okay. For the minutes that's left, let me just go through this. It's not getting better. So what I was, we're looking at, we're talking about the loan, we're talking about National Youth Development Fund. So as I said, so this is where am I? So now this was designed, as I said earlier on, it's designed to boost, it's a boost for young people who have actually the right ideas. We're talking about a loan from 60,000 to, you know, to 1 million. And that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And the interest is quite low. It's between 2 to 4%. And you don't need collateral. So that's a big deal. I think that's a big deal. The government is saying, we believe in you. And here is the capital to start your farm, to start your green energy project, to start your factory. So, and this is what developing bank, as we're talking about with Mr. Anonymous earlier. So this is what the developing bank should be doing. Okay. So that we believe in you. And here's the capital. Start this great idea you have. All right. So, and as I said, and on the paper, this is exactly what we have been asking for. It is a it's a direct injection of cash meant, you know, to tackle our crippling youth unemployment. That's what it's supposed to address. And you know, here there's always a but if you are if you are on this program. So, but the but, I'm not the one who bringing the but. So the affirmative repositioning movement leader, Job Ampanda, has thrown a massive spanner in the works, as they said in English. So he looks at the process and basically said, all right, guys, hold on. This whole thing is a mess. That's what he said. So it's a mess. So let's break down his concern. Let's break it down, his concern, because they affect every young person listening right now. So we're going to look at that. So I'm not sure whether the line is working properly. I know the people are calling, but let me try this. If it doesn't work, I'm not going to pick up the line anymore. All right. Very good morning to you. Good morning. So guys, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mike.
Yeah.
How Dave Korea?
I think the line is not working properly, man. So, like, you disappeared already. Mandume?
Yeah.
We can't hear
you, but...
Yeah, no, it's breaking up. The line is not working properly, yeah.
It's not working at all.
Yeah, no, it's fine, man. All right. So, we see how that works out. Sorry for that. From my part, there's nothing I can do. Sorry. All right, let's try to finish this. Yeah, so whoever trying to call, please, I'm not gonna pick up the line because the line is not working very well. All right, there's a breakup at some point. All right, so now I said the professor, he threw a spanner in the works, and he says that, well, the whole thing is a mess. Okay? Well, sometimes those are paraphrasing. Now, let's look at his concern, as I said, because they really, well, his concerns affect every young person who is listening right now. So, okay? First, the deadlines. Now, why on earth, does a young person in Windhoek have until August the 25th to apply, while their cousin in Ohangwena have to have everything in by actually August the 18th today. No. Actually, the deadline is over for the Ohangwena. You know, so what he said, it feels chaotic, it feels unfair. So that you don't have a one deadline, so it's different from one region to another. So he is asking that, is it too much to ask for one clear national deadline so everyone has the same chance? So, and he's suggesting extending it. He also suggesting actually extending it to December, giving everyone time to get their ducks in a row. So, and does that not make a perfect sense? Doesn't, you know, as I said, it's not just about what he is saying, but it's also looking at whether what he's saying, it does make perfect sense. Why are we rushing? Why are we rushing? if the whole thing is really to, there should be a deadline at some point, so that money can start coming in and people doing the work. So, but I think it's something new. We need to be able to get things ready. Otherwise, you only have the Windhoek people doing this, and then focus will be only on them. So let's come back after this commercial.
It's time for the ShopRite Home and Appliances promotion. Upgrade your home and live in style with a wide range of products, like an Essentials 1.7 litre auto kettle for only 149 Namibian dollars 99 each, and a 24 litre Essentials mini oven for only 899 Namibian dollars 99 each. Don't miss out on these special deals and more. Offers valid until 7 September 2025. Only at ShopRite, the home of lower prices you can trust. Always.
All right, welcome back. And we're looking at So we're looking at National Youth Development Fund, and they're concerned that some people have, and specifically we're looking at what the Member of Parliament and the Leader of Affirmative Repossessioning have highlighted. And the reasons why I even focus on this is because some of this, it's really looking at what is more practical and how would this be really helpful for the youth. So, and one thing is talking about the deadlines, because the deadline is different from region to region. So if you are in Windhoek, the 25th would be maybe the deadline, But if you are in Ohangwena or somewhere else, some of the deadlines are already over, 18th of August. So now, so the question is it that too much really to ask, a clear a national deadline so that everyone has the same chance, and that would be also seem to be to feel fair to everybody. So because you will have some people who said no, why other people actually then on 18th has closed already, we didn't get actually a chance, you know, in our region, because so why don't just make it fair and have a deadline across national deadline. So, and he also suggesting that extend it to December so that we have everyone giving everyone ample time to get their things right, and also the, and I think that actually make a perfect sense. So then the application form itself. So this is where now it gets really, really, really concerning. So he points out some confusion, almost impossible requirement. So there is a question about youth ownership percentage in the application form. So now, if the fund is only for the youth, so if the fund is only for the youth and you have to prove now you are a youth with an ID, so why then ask this? Why then ask a youth ownership percentage? So now the question, is this a trick question or is it a loophole? It could be a loophole that you're trying to fill up because a backdoor for maybe that there's a loophole for a backdoor for older or non-youth partners, you know, to have a stake in the business. So now that's something that is actually questioning. Why do you put this in, you know, if you, the youth, when they prove their ID and now youth ownership percentage, what does that really mean? Does it that mean there could be a non-youth partner to have a stake in the business? So, and then there's this showstopper. If you watch, you know, now the showstopper is the demand for an environmental compliance certificate. Now for green projects. Now this is now for the green project. Now what the AR leader is saying is that he said he's caught the law and the Environmental Management Act, and he can't find this specific certificate. So is this now a real requirement? Now, what I'm asking is that, is this a real requirement or is a bureaucratic wall design? And this is exactly what Anonymous was saying. So this bureaucratic wall designed to make applicants give up, you know? And are we setting our youth up to fail before they even actually start? When you're asking for something that either is not there. So I'm relaying this to you. I don't have a proof that this is not there. So the environmental certificate, the environment compliance certificate for green projects. So now, and these are not small details. These are not small details. They are potential. When you look at those, these are potential roadblock that could disqualify thousands of deserving young people. So as we see it in current institutions, there are always these criterias and and things that in the end they disqualify thousands and thousands of deserving young people that this whole thing is meant to address. All right. So yeah, and that's a problem. Yeah. So and this is where now we have to open our eyes wide open, you know? So when you see confusing rules and lack of clear information, you have to ask cui bono, eh? Who benefit from this confusion? So who benefit from this confusion? So the AR leaders letter, because there's a letter to the Prime Minister that he doesn't just ask for clarity. It also hints at something deeper. Now, he suspects that all the political connected individuals are already circling. They are already circling this 250 million honeypot, you know? So they are already settling it. So is it possible that this complicated application form or different deadlines are not accident? So those are just things. Could they be designed to favor those who have insiders? We were talking about the qualified teachers, you know, the whole things of qualified teachers who have insiders, who provide them with questions before they even go to the interviews. Would that be those would have, could this be also designed to favor those who have insiders to help them navigate the maze? You know, while the average young person from Katutura, from Kidmanshoff, from Katima Muliro, get lost in the paperwork. Eh? Get lost in the paperwork and just give up. So, and that's the reason why you have some people who are doing business and their business are not registered. Paperwork. Eh? So many things that, you know, and that sometimes are unnecessary. Eh? So now, and this brings us to, the biggest fear of all, in Namibia, transparency. Okay? So, or lack of it. Okay? So, let me see. Maybe my line is better now. So, good morning.
Buen dia, familia. Mia familia, mo primo.
Hey, this line is not working very well, man. So, hopefully, you are not going to cut off. If you cut off, I'm just going to cut you off, okay? No, it's not working. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, it is not working, man. Yeah. All right. So, it was working earlier. I just don't know what happened. So now, as I said, and this has bring us to the biggest fear, and this fear, the biggest fear of everyone in Namibia, the transparency and sometimes the lack of it, you know? So who is now on the committee that would approve this $1 million loans? All right. Are their name public? Which should we know who are they publicly? Will they have to declare if their nephew or their business partner's daughter has applied? So we talk about transparency.
You know, he is demanding now. The professor is demanding that all applications are recorded and the list of winners is made public. And without this, how can we then be sure the fund is helping the best ideas? So how would we know that the fund is really best, is helping the best idea and not just the best connected? So, which is actually, as I said, the reason why this is actually making sense. So we want that, you know, it's merit-based kind of, you know, exercise rather than best connected, some kind of exercise. So, and we have seen it. We have seen this movie before. We have it, public fund that vanish into thin air, or end up in a pocket of some few people. So now, is the National Youth Development Fund destined to be the consequences? So it is easy to dismiss these as just political statement. It is easy to do that. So, but look at the facts. Look at the facts presented. Unclear rules, lack of central information point, you know, question about who is in charge of the money. So these are all red flags. So these are all red flags. And we should, as citizens, we should be asking, and it's good to have a policymakers that is also asking this. We should asking this because we want that when this is actually being implemented, it's there is transparency. This is not just politics. It is a valid concern about good governance and the responsible use of our taxpayers' money, because this is taxpayers' money. So also there is another perspective also here. A more constructive one. I'm not saying the other one is not. I'm just, this is also coming from the Landless People's Movement youth leader, Dominga Ndala. So she sees the potential, but adds some crucial what if, all right? Now, she raises a brilliant point, a point of debt. Many of our young people are already burdened with NSFAF loans. So is it wise to saddle them with another loan? That is what she's asking. So even if it's a low interest one. So she floated the idea that maybe this should have been a grant, a straight up gift to to get the business actually started. But then she adds a thoughtful twist that making it a loan that must be repaid. It also teaches responsibility, because if you just make it a grant, it doesn't work out. How do you then teach responsibility? So it's a fantastic point for a debate. What is better? Okay, what is better? A non-string attached grant that might be misused. So just think about that. Or a loan that teaches financial discipline, but adds to the burden. It could also add to the burden of the loan, NSFAF loan that these people have. So what do you think? So, yeah. So, and more importantly, she hits on what I believe is the most crucial issue of all. Money is not enough. So money will never enough. Resources are always limited. So always, resources are always limited. You can't give a young person $1 million, but if they haven't been monitored, like if they haven't been monitored, if they don't understand the cash flow, marketing or how to manage stuff, business, the business will fail. It will be a waste of money, and money is not enough, and resources is not enough. And that is inevitable. If there aren't those, if a person is not
is not well trained and, you know, monitored in terms of that, that you can expect to happen, you know? So she's calling for a financial literacy training and mentorship to build into this program. I think, which I totally agree. So because are we just handing out fish, or are we teaching our youth how to fish for a lifetime? So that should be the case. And she also reminded us of the ghost of Project Past, you know? She mentioned previous youth funds that were hijacked, you know, because there were no strong monitoring system. So history is our great teacher, is our greatest teacher. So what mechanisms are in place? So what mechanisms are in place this time to make sure the National Youth Development Fund it doesn't suffer the same fate? So I think these are all good, and I love this final point she make. Let's not forget the arts. So let's not forget the arts. So often this fund, you know, focus only on, let's say, on agriculture and manufacturing. But what about the creative economy? So our musician, our fashion designers, our filmmakers. And we had a talk last time of how these are overlooked, even when it come now to creative economy. So yeah, that's a very an area that needs really attention. So these are viable businesses that can create jobs and export Namibia's culture, you know, filmmakers, fashion designers, musicians. This actually can export Namibian culture to the world. So they must have a seat at the table. They must have a seat at the table. I think that's a really good point. So let's have a quick take, you know, a quick summary of this whole thing so that we give it to Tate France. So yeah, so the National Youth Development Fund, let it boil it to the key takeaway. You know, one, the opportunity is really massive, okay? 257 million is a significant investment. So handled correctly, if it's handled correctly, this could actually launch a new generation of Namibian business leaders and create thousands of jobs. So we can lose sight of that incredible potential. So we must not lose sight of that incredible potential. So secondly, the process, the concern about confusing deadlines, questionable application requirements, and lack of clear information are valid and they are urgent. So because in some region already that has the deadlines already, the 18th was a few days ago, was Monday. So the system needs to be simplified, standardized, and made accessible to all Namibian youth. Not just selected few, maybe those who in a know-how in Windhoek, Walvis Bay, or wherever. So we need our rural youth as well to be able to participate. And thirdly, the threat of corruption is real. So transparency is non-negotiable, should be non-negotiable. And we, the public, have a right to know who is making the decisions and who is receiving the money. Secrecy is the best friend. As we know, secrecy is the best friend of corruption, you know. So this transparency should be non-negotiable. And fourthly, the call for mentorship, Dala said. So financial training and strong monitoring are not just nice ideas. I think they are the difference between success and failure. So I really believe that they are the difference. So this is not about being negative. It's about being responsible. It's about protecting a great idea from bad implementation. So we have to, you know, to be very careful of that. And the havoc isn't here yet. It's not here yet, but the warning signs are flashing already. So how do we, the citizen, the media, the youth themselves,
how the power that be accountable. So how do we ensure this 257 million becomes a legacy of empowerment, not another story of what could have been? So keep thinking, keep questioning, keep demanding better. So that brings us to the end of our unpacking the day this morning. So let's do that again tomorrow at the same time from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of Mr. Franz. Coming up with Kwetha Mosha, I'm saying goodbye. Until tomorrow.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is...
Yolo mpiki nike mbinga na mbinga tukupapifa tukutambula kuma program ito kufa masha oo tapapina ave paise nga honde bula kushi lelu nduwa kutoke lo misachese tadulini yange mipaka chekume kupaka umedje poke engu dideko do engu didoko ngi toloka noma chafirunja lida juru kwa kutenya onjira endako hashikeshare mbalanga jamo alifenga the only reliable kinetic energy in town aye mpiki ni uo tukupapisa pepesi mbali no hatu kukunduke mbinga adishe and la papepi engena papepi nombako yo radio umbako dingi karango ne unakatutuke ke penato karango unakajike mbapira no fungu na yo lingone pono yo o poka lingone to tidirike es lingone tashika papu apa atuka katuli mo studio pameno non samane tangeni hangula tangeni hangula vamwe umwe umu bano ngono niva vomu una mapia utekatu pango ni kucha iyo loko pukatike mboto doshiri na dita didane nwa menji bololo dupashina ni na olidipeni ushongo ni tatuka popia ni na alisa tuptarengo ni kucha umini o agriculture ne ya shepo pima tutakumane moshi ingrisa ukucha ote tapana na shike mehumo komesweli ehumo komesweli ulapumba nana kukatela moshike mo geto shaku na mapya nonge hatu kema etama ali tabaka po pilango ne kwa napo ngo ngo ngudu yabo yuba na mapya oyo hatu ka utango kucha ko hainga kucha ta dila shike nana geto shapo po na mapya nuna imuna upo hatu ka utako kucha kashi ume dila lae ula shike nana nukujapo aye, tukapatu lengodi, tuwete kucha, shingone taka pola ina pa, taka langone pola ina, mangeli pola ina, totu kudenge la mo, pa munango shuwala kumpula, ishi eleke diva mangeli po, elipo, mangeli po, mangeli mori fenga, tuwete kucha onetueka, na inyike ipa embwa, kishi shimoshirime landrofano, no kumoku hana manapo ifimbo na tutaye kucha watu monongaripi.
Actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
To be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha, utekirwa kaguna, imatina omjo.